Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of Inside Scoop Live and Internet Voices Radio. This is one of many features presented to you by Reader Views. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Hello, and thank you for tuning in. Today I'm chatting with Dr. Kosi Avotri about his new book, Child of Polygamy. But before we dive into his book, I'd like to tell you a little bit about him. Dr. Avotri is a pediatrician employee of a community health center in Gadsden, Alabama. He was born and grew up in Ghana, West Africa, where he graduated from medical school. He has been practicing general pediatrics in predominantly underserved communities since completing his residency training in the U.S. Dr. Avotri is certified by the American Board of Pediatrics. This book actually was jointly written by Dr. Avotri and his wife, Nella, who is a stay-at-home mom. Dr. Avotri grew up in a polygamous family and knows a great deal about the dynamics of such families through his own personal experiences. Dr. Avotri, welcome to the program.
Thanks for inviting me.
It's good to have you here.
Yeah, I'm delighted to be here.
And if you don't mind, may I call you Kosi throughout the remainder of the interview?
That's fine.
Great, great. Well, Kosi, this is an amazing subject, child of polygamy, and I know we'll get into it a little bit here a little later on about the nature of polygamous marriages at West Africa as opposed to the environment for polygamous marriages in the United States. But before we dive into that, would give the audience a little bit of the essence of your book, if you would, please.
Okay. This is a novel. It is like a biographical novel of a young girl that we both know in Ghana, and we use her growing experience to introduce readers to the culture of Ghana. As it happened, she belonged to a fairly large family, polygamous family, a man with two wives, her mother being the younger of the two, and she being the last of the children. Unfortunately, she was born in her maternal grandfather's home because the mom had to leave and take care of her father.
Ah.
Yeah. And so she had a pleasant first 10, 11 years of life, and then her mom got sick and she had to go and live with her stepmother and her, step-siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a lot of conflict with the older stepsister, who was her main tormentor.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's the summary of the story. But like I said, along the way, we use her experiences, the things she observed, the things she participated in, to introduce people to the culture of Ghana.
She was basically, one of her primary roles was that of as witness, wasn't it?
Yes.
Witness to many, to the cultural events and experiences as well as the cultural ones. I mean, that's great. That is wonderful.
Yes.
Well, tell us a little bit about, I want the audience to understand about the nature of polygamy in Africa as opposed to in the United States before we move much further along here.
Okay. The major difference between polygamy here and polygamy in West Africa, actually maybe in most of Africa, is that it is still legal there.
Mm-hmm.
And so people who practice it don't have any fear of the law coming after them.
Right.
The other difference is that it is not based on any religious belief or religious affiliation. It's strictly a social and cultural thing.
Mm-hmm.
So to them, polygamy is one kind of normal marriage.
Right.
Uh-huh. And so nobody needs to be forced or coerced into marrying into a polygamous family.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually, removing the legal aspects aside, the experiences of your character are very much like those that we might see in families here in the United States, where you know, original marital couples have divorced and maybe had children before divorcing and then divorce and remarry. And as a result, they bring more spouses into the picture and certainly more children into the picture. And you often see situations where the current spouses and ex-spouses don't get along. They have bickering and they're jealous of each other, and their children are also get swept up in that competition, don't they?
Yes, that's a good comparison, except that in the polygamous situation as it is, the two women are still attached to the same man.
Oh yeah, that's exactly. Well, actually, even with divorce, sometimes in more cases than not here in the United States, they're still attached.
Yeah. Yes.
Or you'd think they were, from the way they behave.
Uh huh. Yep.
Interesting. Well, Cosey, tell the audience what motivated you to write this book.
Okay. Well, me personally, I have always wanted to write. Because I loved and I still love reading books. And when I was growing up, I read a lot of novels that I enjoyed, but I was kind of disheartened that there were not many of those written about Africans or set in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So I always wanted to write, but, you know, going to medical school kind of diverted my attention.
Yes, it did. It was pretty demanding.
Yeah. But then when, you know, we settled here, people ask us about our home country, the culture, how things were when we were growing up and how they are now. And when we tell them things, people either are very surprised or fascinated. And so we thought we might put our experiences into a book that people can read and kind of know what conditions we grew under. And that's where the stimulus for writing this particular book came from.
Yes. The fact that there was just not nearly enough written material that really captured the essence of the culture of its own country.
Uh-huh. Yes, and we find a lot of people get surprised when we tell them how things are, because all they know is what they see on TV, and it's mostly all about wars and conflict and
tragedy. Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they don't get to know the ordinary life of people over there.
Well, more and more books of this nature are important to help broaden the knowledge horizons of countries like ours, where people live under a lot of misperceptions about it.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's one of the main hopes we have, that, you know, a lot of people who are interested in knowing about Africa, especially West Africa, will read the book and get to know, even though it's fiction, a lot of what is said is factual.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And so they'll get to know quite a bit about the culture, traditions, and religion of Ghana, Eastern Ghana, where, you know, we came from.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right. And just for clarification, Eastern Ghana is in Western Africa.
Yes, yeah, Ghana is in West Africa.
That's right, that's right.
But we are on the Ewe people, where we belong to, live in eastern part of Ghana, just adjacent to Togo, you know, and that's where the story is set at.
And as a matter of fact, the young lady that you use as your main character, her name is Safia, right?
Yes.
Safia?
Safia.
Discuss a little bit for us what her life in general was like growing up in the two different scenarios that she grew up in. One, initially the first 10 or 11 years of her life in her maternal grandfather's home,
mm-hmm.
and then, and why, back into the home of her biological father with the stepmother and step-siblings.
Yeah. Well,
or half-siblings.
Yeah, she had a pleasant early childhood, like I say, and because her grandfather was a chief, she was able to witness a lot of the traditional ceremonies and holding court, things like that, in her grandfather's home.
Wow.
So she learned a lot of things that happened. But we began the story with the trial at a shrine, you know, where there was a trial by ordeal.
And tell the audience a little bit what that means, about what that means.
That means is not where you go present evidence for and against. The story was that if you were not guilty, then you were going to go through an ordeal and you will survive it. If you were guilty, you will be hurt by it. And in this particular incident, the Sophia's grandfather was accused of murder by sorcery, and the only way to prove his innocence is to go through this trial by ordeal, where he had to immerse his arm into a pot of boiling water. And supposedly, he would not be hurt if he was innocent, and he will be burned if he was.
If he's guilty, huh?
And
of course, the readers will have to read the book to find out what happened.
Yeah,
we're not going to give that away.
No. Yeah. But we began there with that because, you know, we used to hear these stories of people going to trial by ordeal, and it was scary and fascinating, but you really never met anybody who either went through it themselves or had a relative go through it. And so when we got to know about this girl and her grandfather supposed to have gone through it, something that we can say, well, this person knows because she was involved.
Absolutely.
Yes.
As you said it earlier, she was the witness.
Yes.
She witnessed these things.
Uh-huh.
Well, Cosey, the book, of course, the story actually deals with some pretty intense subjects. It deals with, with the living arrangements of a polygamous household and so morality and crime and punishment and suicide and incest even, and taboos and religious beliefs.
Yes.
And you've woven those into this. And, of course, you also discuss more lighthearted issues like the entertainment and dating and courtship and celebrations. And tell us a little bit about how you worked all of that through your novel here.
Yes, as we said, a lot of the things did happen in Sophia's life.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them happened in, I witnessed some of the things myself, and my wife also witnessed some of the events too.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we were writing the story of Sophia, we made her a witness of other things that she really didn't take part in. And so it made the story flow as if it happened to same person.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Good. Well, Cosey, now tell us who you are trying to target with your book. Are you trying to target a certain segment of the reading population?
Well, I want the general population to read the book and find out a little bit more about my country, but more specifically, people with African ancestry, people who travel to many places, including Africa, people who are in academics and, learning about cultures, and religious people thinking of going to Africa for missionary work, who want to know what the people believe and how that belief interacts with whatever religion they want to introduce. A lot of all these people will get something from the book.
Right, because you capture a culture a lot of historical culture, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
And weave that into your story, and so it would be a great read for people of African descent, and knowing more about their own heritage, as well as for many, many others, as you said, academicians, travelers who want to go and know something about the culture before getting there.
Yes.
And as you said quite rightly, biblical scholars will call them, or missionaries who want to go into Africa and do their work, and to give them a chance to have a better understanding of the culture that they're going into.
Yes.
Understanding, respect, and appreciation for the culture that they're going into.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Because there are many customs in this country that need to be accepted by others from other countries without placing judgment or anything else.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When people do go to, you know, to try and either convert people or help them build their faith in a new religion, you got to understand what their original belief is, and then you can either use that to get them to believe what you want to believe, which some people have tried is to make people feel ashamed of what
exactly.
belief they had before, which
right.
sometimes, you know, may seem to work initially, but backfires later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great opportunity for readers to gain a better understanding about not only the beauty and the lush, plush resources of that part of the continent of Africa, and to give them a chance to have a base of knowledge that will allow them to maybe be able to cultivate some relationships based on mutual respect and appreciation.
Mm-hmm. That will be desirable.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, so maybe we've already touched on this at this point, but let's expand just a little bit more on what you want readers to come away with in terms of understanding.
Well, the first thing I want people to understand is that even though a lot of things that Africans may seem strange at first, when you understand the reasons and the traditions behind them, they make sense.
Right.
Uh-huh. The second is that the polygamy that happens over there is just like a plural family here, and it's not the kind of polygamy where there's a lot of controversy about
mm-hmm.
forcing young girls to marry older people and
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing.
It's not a prearranged. It's all consensual, isn't it?
Yes, mostly, you know, consensual. It may look prearranged because even singleton families may be partially arranged. Even though it's arranged between the families, the people know one another and have to accept to marry.
And everyone involved, the original spouses and the new ones coming in, everyone has a chance to say whether they want to participate or not, right?
Yes, uh-huh, yes. And the man has to convince his existing wife or wives
mm-hmm.
Before taking on another wife. And the wife has to at least acquiesce, if not totally, you know, agree.
Well, and of course, it's interesting. Even though it's consensual, as your story shows, and I think you've mentioned this earlier in the interview, even though it's consensual going into it, that doesn't mean that it's without petty competitions and squabbling and things of that sort, is it?
Definitely, there is. There are some that really have very frequent, fights. There are some that, you know, may fight occasionally, and there are some where they get along pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So that's a whole spectrum of relationships.
And experiences and emotions.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Kosi, we're just about out of time, and as we're wrapping things up here, would you tell the audience where they can go to first of all, to purchase your book, as well as to learn more about you and all of your endeavors?
Okay. Well, the place that most of the information is in one spot is at our website, which is www.avotribooks.com. Avotri Books is spelled A-V-O-T-R-I-B-O-O-K-S, all in one word,
right.
Lowercase.
Right.
And so go www.avotribooks.com and you'll find a lot of information about us and the book, even pictures of us.
Right.
And on each page of the website, you will find links to purchase the book either from Amazon.com, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and our publisher. There are some brick-and-mortar stores that carry the book The one I know for sure is Barnes & Noble's in Birmingham's Summit Shopping Center.
Mm-hmm.
There may be some others which I'm not sure of, but the easiest way is through our website and get a link to any of the online bookstores that, you know, people prefer to use.
Right, perfect. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Cozy, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today. Your book sounds very educational, enlightening, and delightful. And I want to encourage everyone out there to go to InsideScoopLive.com and ReaderViews.com to look over the reviews. Also, this Internet radio segment will be posted on the author's page on Inside Scoop Live. So Cozy Avotri will have his own author's page on Inside Scoop Live where this interview will be posted. ReaderViews.com and Cozy's websites will also have a link to this interview. So I want to encourage everyone out there to take a look and a listen and consider purchasing this book for your own library or as a gift. Cozy, thank you again for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. It was a pleasure talking with you.
It has been a joy. And audience, thank you for tuning into this segment of Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Until the next time, bye.